there's something to shine. And I've known that I've been in service for 9 people. I see for, I think it was 7 or 8. It's the most I have ever been. But thank God, he is still pouring out his Spirit. So the last days, before I was spirit in all flesh. Thank God for part of that flesh. And I'm glad he's still talking to us in these times that we're living in. And I appreciate this church group because you're very sensitive to the Holy Ghost. And that is a credit to you because God honors that by services such as last night, where that no program is set. I haven't seen one occasion that the Holy Ghost led us into that channel, and the leadership of this church directed that, and the saints of God just joined right in and just fell right into the channel. And we see what God can do in that. And last night was just the result of an old fashioned, low risk, camp meeting service. And I'm glad I see it. It's been worth it all. And I thank you. He still works when saints begin to pray for the Lord to have his will. Then the Spirit of the Lord comes down. Down, down. I'm glad he's still calm, aren't you? I hope today that can be a blessing to you. I have a message that I want to preach to you. I'm just having such a good time. And sometimes I get so wrapped up in the service, I forget that I have responsibility here. We lost them. Don't get too carried away. We've got to do teaching, preaching, and I just like to get totally lost on it. But it's just a privilege to be in this kind of campaign. I mean that sincerely. Where could you go and get all we're getting for Christ? Oh, this is good. And all this good fellowship, and meet all of our good friends, and Brother Pilot just come in, good to see him, these other preachers I haven't met. It's always good to see new preachers that I've never met, and other preachers. And God for them all, they all do something for us. And I thank God for them. And to come here and feel this good old Holy Ghost to eat the kind of food we've been eating tonight. I just don't do myself in that kitchen. And they take care of me back there. I told Brother Sip, I was bragging about my glass and my name. I said, look here. You've been here 2 years in your kitchen. But they already did it anyway. I had to wait for that year to get mine. So here they start. Thank you all for the care and concern. And I just feel good. I just feel good to be with you. I'm from the north. And a lot of people have asked me if I'm from the south. I don't know, think I have any background in the south. I don't know. But I wouldn't mind being a part of the south. And I thank God for the wonderful spirit. Good brothers and sisters of the saints. Thank you. Praise God. Are you all enjoying this? Yeah. Some of the best singing. Y'all got solos and quartets. And you want them bigger, we got choir. We just got any size you want. So I enjoy every bit of this. Good quality. God bless you. I hope I can say something this afternoon. I have a message on my heart, and I have this delivery. It's very important. But I feel very strongly about what I'm going to be talking to you about. And I feel strongly about it because it's written in black and white, for it's all Greek. And I believe that if the Bible says it, it's going to be right.
Yeah.
I had a couple of young men walk on my front porch some time ago, and they wanted to discuss the Bible. It was cold outside. And I opened the door, and they said, "Can you come in?" I said, "Well, who are you?" I just don't know anything. And they said, "Well, we want to discuss the scriptures." He said, "What's that other book you got here?" "Oh, that's our book from our prophet." He said, "Well, I will discuss one book. That's the Bible. I don't want any other book to discuss it. I want to discuss the scripture." And so they said, "Well, you must be apostolic." I said, "I am." I said, "You're the only people we know of that just totally rely on the Bible. Thank God for a Bible." Things to lead people astray and teach them false doctrine. And you're a privileged people to come here and open one book, not have to carry two, just one at a time. And say, "Now let's open the book now and see what he says compared to what he says." Because when the Bible was written, it was written to be complete as it is. As a matter of fact, he said, "If anybody adds one word, or take one away, God shall take away the thing out of the book of life, and he'll go to the lake of fire." I don't intend to change the book. So what I'm talking about is something that never fails to work if you use it like the Bible says. I like it. And it doesn't fail. It's always there, and it will give you the positive results as you strip in this book. You like things like that? I like things that work. And if it works, I think we ought to latch on to it. And so I hope that this is one lesson that will be good for you the rest of your Christian life. But Jesus comes over. You go by the graveyard in last year to the end. Now, can you read it? It's very simple. And so I want to preach on church growth today and something helpful. In the book of Judah, chapter 1 of the book of Judah, you don't have to stand much to the book for you to see it. Wherever you feel comfortable. In the book of Judges. That's the Judah. What did I say? Judah? That's what I'm talking about. Judah. But in the book of Judges, Judges chapter 1. I'm allowed to read three homes for you. That's my number one. Take care. In Judges chapter 1, Judges chapter 1, I want to read just a few verses, not too many, but let me read just as many as I need to read. Beginning at verse 1, chapter 1 of the book of Judges. "Now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, 'Who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first?'" They must say first. "Fight against them." And the Lord said, I'm glad I'm still talking about you, "Judah shall go up Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand. And Judas said unto Simeon, his brother, come up with me. Would you say that? Come up with me. Come up with me into my lodge, that we, say we, Simeon and Judas, that we may fight against the Canaanites, and I likewise shall go with thee into thy lodge. So Simeon went with him. And in verse 17, I'm reading out loud. And Judah went with Simeon his brother, and they slew the Canaanites, and they inhabited Zephthah, and utterly destroyed it. I must say, utterly destroyed it. And the name of the city was called. I want to talk to you from these verses on this Sunday today. Two spiritual elements needed to win a battle. Two spiritual elements that are needed to win a battle. As you all well know, that names in the Bible have significant meaning with the character of the individual and that particular person that was named. Any parent that has a child would be proud to name their daughter Mary, or Martha, or Elizabeth, because these names have tremendous meaning behind those particular names. I've seen, since I've been introduced to various names that I thought was very beautiful, some of them were from the Bible, and every name, regardless of that name, is a very special name to that person because it represents the characteristic of that particular person. A good proper name for a son would be John or Andrew or Matthew. We're seeing lots of those names coming back, or Joshua or Zechariah or whatever name, Paul. There are many names that would be good names to name children. Nathaniel is a very common name today, but it has a very important significance behind the meaning of the names that are in the Bible, very important characters that were a blessing in those days, and we read about as our heroes. You just don't hear of anybody in their right mind naming their son some crazy name as Judas, because Judas represents betrayal, or his terror, which is representative of treachery, or Ichabod, which means the Lord, the glory of the Lord has departed. And so there are names that we shun from because they do not represent a good, wholesome name to name a child. No serious mother in her right mind would want to name her daughter Delilah because it represents deceit, or Jezebel, which represents a mountain woman or a bossy woman. In our part of the country, they call them bell cows, whatever you may call them. With some kind of bad connotation to the name, you just don't hear a mother in her right senses, or a parent that wants to call a child some goofy name, such as Satan or some silly name. But when we name our children, we want them to have attached to that name a characteristic that will identify some nice thing or some nice background or that is meaningful to us all. When we named the last child, we kind of wanted to have a different name for her. And so we bought us one of these little books. And we started down through it. And we got through the A's and we couldn't find anything. We got through the B's. And when we came to C's, we went too far in it until we found the name Carissa. And we liked its meaning and the significance of the name. So I said, that's it. And we were looking for a middle name, and we just kept on going until we got into D's and found Desiree. And so she ended up with a book name that came out of the book, Carissa Desiree. And that's how she got her name. But they had nice names and were important to us to name her with a proper name. And so in Bible times, the names that were given to people were names that were meaningful as much then and probably more so then than they are now. Some years ago, I got all wrapped up in the meanings of the names of the sons of Jacob. Two of them I'm reading about this afternoon. And how those names had a spiritual application to the child of God in today's time. How they relate to us and their effect on us. And I taught that to my church for several weeks about the entire names of Jacob. I just recently completed a study on the name Benjamin and about his characteristics and the meaning of that name and its relationship to the church family and how it could be helpful to the church. And so these names actually, of all these names, actually give us a course to follow in identifying the Christian's behavior and what could happen to us as a member of God's family. It helped me to see where I was and where I should be going and what I should be doing in the kingdom of God. And so through every facet of the Christian life, there is a characteristic found in one of Jacob's sons. Now call him Israelite. That can be helpful in what we face today as a Christian. And whether we're experiencing joy or going through hardships or sadnesses and disappointments in life, the study of each of the sons of Jacob are representatives of life situations that we face. If you haven't studied these, I would encourage you to study them because they're interesting and certainly enlightening to every child of God. Just gives you a study book and study the name and the meanings of every son. I had time this afternoon, I talked to you about some of them, but I want to just draw in on a couple of those this afternoon. And so I have picked from this subject that I have read from the book of Judges, two sons of Jacob and Leah that are found in our text. First one is called Judah, which was their fourth son. And then their second son, Simeon, and how that these sons were very important to us as children of God. Now in this text of scripture I read, I want you to see the setting that is taking place because it brings the point that I want to bring to you this afternoon, that the children of Israel are faced with a perplexing question. You will notice in the first verse that Joshua has just died, and so the children of Israel feel somewhat helpless because they have depended upon Joshua to go before them and to be the leader in every situation of life. And so the children of Israel, they do what is proper and right. They go to the Lord. They inquire of the Lord as to what to do. They just lost their leader. What shall we do? And so they talk to the Lord, and they ask the Lord, who shall go up against the Canaanites first? Who's going to go out in front now? Joshua is gone. He's dead. And he has passed. And who shall go up first against the enemy to fight against them, because our leader has died? I want to tell you this before I start all this, that every Christian man and woman is faced with problems and difficulties. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter our association. It doesn't matter our name or background altogether. But we are all faced with perplexities and problems. Don't think because somebody's name ends with spell that they don't have problems too. Everybody has problems. We're all identified because we're Adam's child, and we come from that seed of Adam, that we all face perplexities and problems of life. Jesus said it. He said it through his own. He came in the world. He suffered himself. And he said before he left, he told those around him, his very own, he said, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I'll overcome the world. And so we all face problems. No man is exempt. No man in this world, regardless of who he is and how he may look prosperous and well and doing well. But everybody in this world, in the church today, has experienced some kind of struggle and stress in life. Regardless of their status, everybody suffers. Everybody goes through problems. Is that right? Everybody's identified their situation. If you may not have one today, but just hang on. Next week may bring a whole different thing. Your hour may come, and your time may come to suffer. And while someone else may rest, they've got to be all to get down at the same time. But there's always somebody around that's going through the struggles of life. And so the course of every Christian man and woman is not without struggle. And so when the children of Israel had this problem, they knew well where to go, because they had been there before. It's not so much to have the problem, but do we know where to turn to? And who to turn to? And so they turned in the right direction, and they turned to God, and they called upon the name of the Lord. I thank God you know who to turn to this afternoon. How many does you know who to call on if you got trouble? And so the Bible said that when Joshua had died, what a dilemma! Losing their leader, losing the man who had brought victory to them time after time, and whom they had put their trust and confidence. And so they turned to God and said, God, who's going to go up first now to fight against our enemy? Who are you going to put out front? And so the answer comes back to them. Thank God that we have enough sense to recognize where to turn to, and that we always recognize that He is the answer for every situation. One of the problems that we have among people today is there are too many people who want to fight their own battles. And they want to just kind of wait it out and just see if it'll just kind of wash out itself. And I'm going to tell you this, you're not big enough to fight any battle. You've got to be just like everybody else. There's got to be something that must go before you. Who's going to fight our battles? What is the answer to our very needs and to our very perplexities that we face every day? This question I've asked many times, and I thank God that the answer is in His Word. It's right here in this text today. It's right here. And so we find out that we're not strong enough, and we must turn to the Lord, and we ask the Lord, what are we going to do? Have you ever asked the Lord that? And this is what they asked the Lord. Lord, what are we going to do? said in the second verse, the Lord answers them and gives them an answer. I'm glad they got an answer for it, aren't you? And after they ask that, we'll go up first. The Lord said, Judas shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hands. Thank God for Judas. Judas is going to go up first now. Amen. Everybody here knows, and you have studied and heard as well in this particular part of the country, that Judah means praise. I will praise the Lord. And God said, when he sent the answer back, he sent Judah out. I want you to put praise right out front. Now you all knew that, didn't you? We're supposed to put praise out front of our problems. I've heard it said, and you have heard it said in times past, that we can praise our way out of any problem we got. I believe it! Because the Bible says, you can praise your way out of any problem we got. All you got to do is put praise out front. And God loves praise from his people. He dwells in the midst of praise. That's what happened here last night. People began to praise God and begin to worship God. And God honored worship. And God honored the praise of his people. And before we left the service, there was enough praise going on around here that 9 people received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Marvelous things take place when people begin to praise the name of Jesus. There is no name greater and no name higher. There's nothing that brings any more results than the name of Jesus. Thank God we have to go through some kind of education to get to him. But thank God we have a true expression. I'm just saying, Jesus, help us. And praise goes out before us. That's the name of Jesus, aren't you? But it only works when people put that name out front. It's got to be out front. Now, I don't have any big thing to tell you, a big revelation, just a message burned on my heart. But I felt last night in the Holy Ghost, got up this morning and started jotting some things down. I just come to tell you this afternoon that there is a way to win a battle. There are 2 elements that are needed to win any battle you've got. And number one, you got to praise the name of Jesus. You praise him, things are going to happen. God's going to turn the situation around. And all eyes are listening on the name of Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. That's your word of praise. I just live a short distance from my church. And the other day, I generally walk to church if it's not raining. I couldn't do that unless it was dead, unless it rained here. But I walk to church generally because it's only 3 or 4 blocks. And some of those things, they do the same thing. They try to find out my time. I'm walking, they try to meet me. And we all walk together, said that. And we just walk with me, I guess. But the other night, I was walking to church, and there's a busy highway right in front of our church, and one of the little baby children was across the street, and they were coming down the street and saw me, and he got loose from his daddy, and he ran right smack dab out in front of the van. And I saw that the fellow was going about 55 or 40. 5:55, somewhere there, past. I saw it. It was too late to do anything. Thank God for the name of Jesus. Oh, I love that name, don't you? I didn't have time to drop on my knees. I didn't have time for that. But I did have time to say Jesus. And when I said Jesus, I heard one of the biggest things I've ever heard, I think, in a long time. I mean, he just smattered that front headlight and just smacked that boy right in the head. And when I said the name of Jesus, it threw him right in front of me. And of course, the fellow slammed on his brakes and he was way down the street, fixed skid marks in the back, and jumped out and said, "Sir, I didn't see you." And about that time, the boy got right up off his feet. He said, "Hey, everything's all right. Don't worry about it." And I said, "Tony, you sure you're all right?" He said, "Man, I feel great. Here they might bust it out, bumpers. He hit the bumper. I don't know what all they messed up about." I said, "Man, I can't believe this." I said, "Well," he said, "what happened?" I said, "I just said Jesus, and everything turned out all right." There it is. You're all
that has a word of saints of God, when they come to church, there's something for them to hear. And then there's something for them to obey. You gotta sit and listen with an accepted heart, the word of the Lord. You'll find it will fit your situation. You'll find it out. I've said many times in the past that preaching is like coming to church and getting a duty statement, a work statement. When you come, you sit and listen, you write it down, and you say, this is what I'm going to be doing now. This is where I'm supposed to be living. And you come to get a responsibility. It's not just to make it happen. That's good. But before the preaching is done, there's a point in that preaching that lets you go away and feel responsible to God and the church, and something you must do in order to be a better child of God. And don't think that in our kind of church, that every man I have ever heard, I believe he has a word from the Lord for me. I believe that.
Yeah.
You say, you know, I don't think to classify preachers as good and bad preachers. To me, they're all good. If they're God's men, they have something to say. And sometimes out of the most simplest message it may seem, there's something in this today to take home. It may seem like something very simple to what we talked about in the last couple of days, but it's a very important message. And if you take it home and live it and practice it and do what is being said in this message this afternoon, you will find that God has a blessing for you, because there's an answer in this message. No substitute for preaching. Don't ever let preaching be counted as secondary, because worship and preaching is an integral part of every church service. It is the lifeline to a saint of God's survival. You cannot make it without preaching. And don't ever underestimate God. God knows what you're thinking. He knows exactly what's in your mind. And so many times you've come, and because you listen well, the preacher didn't have to be told what the problem was. He did not have to be counseled somewhere and say, preach on this or that. I don't know if I've ever been to a place where a man told me what to preach. Thank God I haven't reached that yet. Because I wouldn't want to be told what to preach. Because God's men are in touch with God for the sake of God's church. And God knows exactly what you need today. As we give you this. I had a new woman in our church that came in and got saved, and she had an unsaved husband, and he called her about coming to church. He claimed he was an atheist. And she said, this is a problem. She said, I promise you, I just can't believe how he knows what to say. She said, because God gifted him. She came from a Trinitarian group, and came into oneness and saw such a great difference. There is a difference. There's no comparison to us as a Trinitarian. They don't have it. We don't. And so she came in, and she was rejoicing about the fact that God was able to speak to her. Don't make her at all. And then he started giving her trouble, giving her a hard time. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. He said, this is what I didn't even know that. He said, I'll tell you what. He said, I'll go to church with you Sunday morning. But when I go, he said, if he's such a prophet, he's going to preach on three things. I'm going to write down three things, and none of them match after I heard of it. And he wrote down three things. So he talks about this, and he talks about this, and he talks about this. He said, then I'll believe you, prophet. And that's putting the preacher on the spot. And I didn't know a thing. She said, okay, you just do it. She said, they'll give you a thing. And so he wrote down a piece of paper, handed it there, stuck in the purse, and brought him to church, and I saw him. I knew what kind of problems that she had been encountering. I had no idea so good. How would I know? He wrote this stuff down on the way to church. And I watched him while I was preaching, and he kept looking at him. I can remember my thought. Was he all right?
And when church was over, here he comes. He ran right up to him. And he stood there and he said, all I will tell you is that you are in Christ. And he pulled out a piece of paper and said, I said to my wife, if he talks about this and this and this, then I know he's a man of God. I'm going to tell you this. Now, that doesn't always work for me. But God saw the hardness of his heart. God knows what was in his mind, and he dropped it in my mind. That's how he's done. And he can't do that every time he comes, but he did that one time. It was the first time ever in that culture. And he told me this out of his own mouth. He said, sir, I will be back. He said, I'm a claimed atheist. I claim to be atheist. But he said, after this morning, I know that you didn't know what was on that paper. And God spoke to my heart exactly every word I didn't read that's on the paper. And sure enough, I accept those things that he had written down on the paper. I'm telling you, God knows the very thoughts. He knows the intent. You don't have to say so. But God can connect you to your mind, switch it right over the preacher's mind, the preacher's keep it right out of the pulpit, and it's happened many times before. I don't know how many times I've stepped in various pulpits, and when I finished, the pastors told me, oh, Ellen, they're surely going to think I told you. They're going to think I said something to you. And they never said a word to me. And sure enough, some of them have told me, yep, they cornered me tonight. I was preaching one time, and I said, you know those people that order concrete and pour concrete right at 6:30 in the evening? And they're supposed, and they know they got church at night, but they intend to order that because they knew it was set up in time for them to go to church. And so they, and it still happened raining that night. And I said that night at church, Pastor Ellen, my God. He said, Ellen, I'm in deep trouble. There's a man just called me right before church that I hold my concrete from 6:30, and I won't be there tonight. And he said, and sure as Lord, he's going to think I've told you. I said, you do. God knows your thoughts. And there's every once in a while God will just pull out something that's going to surprise you that you think the preacher heard about and he didn't hear about. But God's still talking. He's still moving. He's still visiting the men that he has called preachers. And when God transfers from what's in your mind and heart over there, don't get too upset. God's still talking in this hour. And if you come to church, just drop everything you're doing. Forget everything that's happened about you. You are, or how worn out you are. Come on, hold it up. Hear what God has to say. Come with a hidden ear and understand what He has to say. I'm telling you, God will always find out where you live. For David said, before he knows us, knows our risings and our downsettings. And he understands our thoughts, even afar off. If you got a problem, come on to church.
Yeah.
Come on to church. If I say go to church. Come on to church. Come to church with Simeon and Judah out front. Come on in this house. I know those folks from that church. Those black folks who came here tonight. I know everyone that came in. Maybe we may not have to do this. But I didn't like the intent behind it. When they stepped in the door, all of them just raised their hands and said, thank you, Jesus. Everyone walked through. Because I said, I hadn't seen that before. But they entered into his peace with thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And into his courts with prayer. So many people don't know how to go to church. But if you go to church and come through those doors with Judah out front and with a human ear and an obedient attitude, together. Be ready to worship and be
ready to hear and obey. If I say amen. I'm going to pray because I don't have a lot of time left. But don't just stay home. Just come and see what God will do, because He will do what no other can do. And if you'll keep telling yourself, I've got to hear what the preacher's got to say, I've got to do what he says. And if we come with that kind of attitude, let Him go before us and let Him go out front and put God's word as a priority. I've got to hear preaching.